Okay, so now I'll present you the way how we use Webpack with Loan currently. So it's our way, it's a little bit opinionated, but it works well with our current Loan versions, and it uses the resources for current Loan releases. So it can build the current Loan user interface, and there might be bugs still. We have fixed everything we have found, and then we all have almost extended from that user interface for our custom teams. And we have published our work so others can try it, but I don't try to push you to use it, but it would be nice if some of you would try it out at some time, so later it would be easier to discuss how should we really try to use Webpack with Loan if we want to. So why we are using our Webpack with Loan at the first place? So it's hard for our customers to ask tell us what they really need from us when they write a new homepage for conference or some project. And usually what they do, they go for an agency and they get a nice team for the site. Then they can come to us with the team, or we want our site to look like this, how easy it is. And then what we got isn't actually just a team, but it's a team with all different requirements for the site also. There might be blocks and different user interface effects elements, content picks, carousels, all kinds of fancy stuff. And then we need to figure out how we implement that stuff. And the traditional Loan way has been, okay, we make generic reusable components and then we configure them in policy and we team them. But for many cases, it's a lot of work. And we are not sure, can we use those work later? And whatever they do, if we try to make it too generic, too easy, too early, then we always need to wake them, pick them up for the next use case. So our idea was that maybe it would be easier to make a disposable feature just for those teams as easily as possible, then make new ones when we need a new team. So, and try how that works out. So from a different perspective, for a particular feature, okay, customer wants, really wants a carousel, even if it's not really such good user experience nowadays, but they really want carousels though because they want to hide a lot of stuff for the page, a lot of pictures. So the traditional way, yes, we implement some carousel product or use some existing Loan carousel product and then try to see it has all the features we need. And then we always need to configure it somehow to fit for the current project or site, and then team it and hope it works out. But well, technology goes fast forward, and for example, the current default carousel we have been using is Sleek Carousel called, and there are no products for Loan with that carousel right now. Well, there always comes new kind of libraries creating nicer and easier components to do user interface stuff, and those reusable packages are then already outdated. So instead of creating Python package, generic Python package, and then configure it, and then adapt it in for the theme, and then do the normal Loan release, we make packages, run build out, prune build out, deploy the run build outs to the production server, and then restart the site. We just install the libraries we need for our theme project, and add some template fragments to get the information from the site, to render HTML, and then some JavaScript to wrap to start that feature on the HTML. So tell the Sleek Carousel, take these images and make the carousel. And then, because it's all with Diazo compatible team that can be zip packet and zip uploaded, we can deploy to the site without any kind of break, without running build or without restarting site. Timo. Yes. They won't go to the camera, but I can try to repeat them. Yeah.
Okay. So the only thing that you need to do if you want to
Yes. So we do the work on the file system, and then we have command to pack the theme on file system and upload it to the web as a zip file through the proto-plonap theming interface.
Yes, sorry for my dumb question.
Of course, both of these approaches need some Raya rules or similar that wire up everything up. So to make this possible, we decide to try Webpack. And also, what is Webpack? Webpack is a front-end resource bundler. And it really, what is special, it can really bundle everything. So it starts from some front-end entry points. Like, for example, we have our default, like Plone, current Plone resource has those meta bundles, a default bundle and login bundle. So we have similar entry points for Webpack, default and login. And then Webpack goes through, starts from the single file, and goes through, finds every dependency of that file, whether they are JavaScript, whether they are CSS, whether they are images, whether they are font files, and builds a dependency tree of all of those. And then it outputs something at the end. And all these phases can be configured, how it resolves files, what it does with them, is there a transformation at some points, and what kinds of output it does. So it's like a plugin architecture for bundling things. So the whole Webpack is just a lot of plugins. So everything can be plugged in, and you can write your own plugin, and there are a lot of plugins available. And we use those plugins, for example, also make Webpack read all the other stuff for the theme. So we have theme with Dias rules, theme with Dias theme mockup files, theme with theme fragments, and other theme resources, what they could be, isolator. And then it outputs a complete theme directory for us. So we can just take that directory, zip it, and upload it to Plone. And if you want to learn Webpack, I really recommend the Server.js book. So that was how I started, and I started reading it again a few weeks ago, because it has got really comprehensive updates. So the latest version covers Webpack 2 and all the possible features. It has the best practices for using it, how to make your Webpack configuration reusable and modular, and also how to write your own plugins for backup. So I really recommend that book. So now, in more detail, how do we use Webpack to bundle Plone themes? So as I said, the goal is to bundle everything that's in the theme, and in the best case, we use nothing from the Plone directly afterwards. But there are still some cases where Plone has a code to inject stuff there during rendering, so we are not at 100%, but we are pretty close. So we can bundle all we need for Plone and customize them, use the versions we want to. So we can customize or override individual patterns. Timo? Can you be more exact?
No, you just said that you're not at 100%, but you can bundle that. You still have stuff in Plone, which is not in Webpack, right?
Yes. So Timo asked what are stuff we cannot bundle, we can bundle. We can bundle everything that use patterns, for example, and all theme, to hold all CSS files, all theme, whole Plone theme. But if there's a Plone template that renders JavaScript inside the HTML, of course we cannot bundle those.
Yeah, okay, got it, yeah. But that's the only thing, right?
Yes.
Okay, cool, great.
So I think this would have been possible without patterns for us. So because we abstract everything to patterns, and that made it easy to bundle them. Yeah, and because everything is in one team Webpack project, we can use normal JavaScript practices to add new libraries there. And we can pack it and deploy it fast. And one extra nice feature is we can also serve those files outside Plone. So currently for the site, we deploy the theme to Plone because Plone needs, for example, Dias rules files there, Dias or theme files there. But then it looks all the static resources, CSS, JavaScript, and images, fonts, it gets them from directly from Apache. So we can have a working zip compression there and can make sure that we have good cache headers there, and probably we can soon have HTTP2 for all those resources also. And because we have multiple sites with the same team, then those sites can use the same resources because they all point to the same place. And how that's technically possible is that the Webpack, by it makes all those JS and CSS bundles, it injects them those for the Dias team files that goes to the Plone. So it's all in the team, and there's no need for resource registry or something custom there. Yeah, so what they want, we don't need to say customers that, no, this is difficult, that we cannot do that, this needs so much and so much work to make all those normal Plone components and packages. Well, we just mock it together and deploy it. Of course, there are issues. We may forget to test these things because now we cannot use the Plone and normal Plone testing practices, but we need to figure out new practices for testing the front end. And we still have not figured a really good way to reuse those things we would put in the individual teams. Of course, we should make them like individually NPM packages. Then we need to have our own NPM like service, and we don't have that yet. That's one possibility. But then again, the new trend is that the best way to code is to code so that you can throw out your code easily. So it's better that you can delete code easier than make it reusable. That's one of the current trends. To try to make things easy to re-implement instead of reuse. Of course, that's opinionated. Then a little bit technical how we got there. So I started by trying to use the Webpack in right away. So I followed Webpack best practices, tried to find all the Plone front-end resources from their original locations, and then added a lot of Webpack loaders and plugins to sim all the requirements for those libraries. Because Plone use these also quite large variety of different libraries, and they are made. A lot of them are made before Webpack and before required.js, so need to sim all the requirements that they work properly. Everything that's defined in mockup or Plone resource registry, I need to re-implement that in the Webpack to make that work. And it resulted in quite large Webpack configuration. And also, well, because I was then doing this alone, and after a few weeks, it looked like, okay, people, you are interested, but not interested enough. So I need to keep track of all of those dependencies myself. So I wanted to find out easier way so that I could kind of get all the current versions from Plone itself. So that I don't need to think about, I only need to think those versions I want to be newer or better than in the current Plone. I also need to thank Eric Bichol for that idea. He did something similar for Plone Angular and then told me that I should try that out. So, second generation, I made the Webpack a plugin that plugs in the Webpack and actually goes to Plone to search for all those resources. So our Plone resource registry have two interesting entry points. One is config.js entry point, and one is less variable entry point. So config.js entry points is required.js configuration generated from the Plone resource registry. So I was able to use that up-to-date configuration for Plone to know where are all the resources I need for the front end. With all those alias mappings from Plone mockup aliases to real resources available at Plone. And less variables is the same for less variables. So when I build a Barcelona team, there are a lot of variables, and there are some paths and other things that you can set at Plone or are added by add-ons, so I can get all those direct from Plone. And my first attempt was our first version, and didn't write Webpack is right to work with on the file system, so it tries to find everything from the file system by default. I tried to be too clever and find a nice plugin for Webpack. So instead of after getting the resources from Plone, instead of writing them to disk, I just put them into memory into some kind of something called Webpack virtual file system, where Webpack found them. They were not written anywhere, just fetched from Plone and saved there, and then they disappeared when the Webpack process went off. And I thought that would be clean and nice, and yeah, it was, and it worked pretty well with Webpack 1. It has some issues with some special cases. And of course, because you didn't see those files, there was no place to check what the Webpack really got from Plone. So it's just a little bit opaque, a little bit magic. And yes, I had some special case issues with Plone 5.1. Because in Plone Webpack, Plone 5.1 in structure pattern, there was added a feature where you can define new dependencies there in Fly. And those are a little bit extra work from Webpack. And the existing plugin and the guides for Webpack only work with file system. So it didn't work. So, yeah. So it only worked when I... So the issue was that I couldn't make Plone 5.1 structure pattern to work with the virtual file system. It only worked if I made the mockup check, file system mockup checkout and used it from there. And also, of course, because I get all the resources from Plone, the Plone must still be running to build the team. Usually when I'm developing, I have the Plone running and the team, so it's not so big an issue. It's only issue when you want to build a team at CI. So currently I have only like make file that has sleep, so start Plone, sleep sometime, and then try to make the build. Probably there are better cases to wait when Plone is ready and then make the build when everything's available. But well, then came Webpack 2 and Webpack 3 and all the new versions that are coming up soon. And my plugin was too clever and too much stuff refactor. So when I now wait the version for Webpack 2 a couple of months ago, I made it simpler. So I just get all the resources from Plone and save it to the file system on some cache directory. And then everything with Webpack worked a little bit easier. So the current Plone Team Webpack plugin is less code, it's easier to understand. And I think it's easier to maintain it. So it still gets all the current versions from Plone, and it lets me overwrite those versions I want with my own CSS files, newer or less files from newer mockup version or stuff. Because of course I could use the latest mockup master and package, but then again, just in case I've been wanting to use the versions packages. Versions that are packaged with the current Plone release as long as possible and only overwrite those patterns I really need to get the newer version or with some custom features. So this still has... one thing I forgot to say at the and previous slide was I also abstracted the Webpack configuration so that I included the reusable, included the main configuration with the plugin. So my Webpack configuration in my team file looks quite small because it only takes the default configuration from the plugin and then adds those parts I want to custom for the custom team. And it's easy to, currently it's easy to add your own stuff there, but it's a little bit more difficult to customize those plugins that are already included in the plugin configuration. And also, I haven't made complete documentation for it, so the best way to see what's comes with the plugin configuration, it's look at the source code. But yeah, thanks to the file system cacher, it's only required for the first build to get with the phone plan running. After the first build, it also finds all the resources for the file system. So it makes it a little bit more convenient. And no, how you can try out this stuff? So there is a project. Also, Eric Wiholt also helped me with that. Project called Plontine Webpack Template. You can clone it, and then use Mr. Bob to use it's a Mr. Bob template. So you can use Mr. Bob to generate a new team project from that, and then go to the project and run make watch. And there's a make file that first builds out the clone and then starts the clone and then runs npm install and runs the Webpack build. And starts it in Webpack development server mode. So then you can go and see how then you should be able to. You start with no team, unteamed clone site, but you can log in and go to the clone app theme and enable the new team. Or if there are errors, then there are separate make commands, just start up the clone or just start up the team in development, team build in development mode. Or of course you can look at the makefile, what it really does, and run the actual commands. So, and I'm also currently using this project for generating new versions, new teams for us. And probably in the near future, I add a branch for mosaic-based teams because they are a little bit different. And I may not go there here. So after you get it running, you see there are the main team folder looks like this. There is the default entry point, login entry point, and they also include their own. Their default entry point includes its default less, and login entry point includes login less. And so you can add your own JavaScript and own CSS and less files there easily. Also include SAS files from the JavaScript file. And then there's a copy of Barceloneta, main team file that includes all the Barceloneta modules. So it's easier to customize it. And also, I think I needed that also to make a font, bundling the font work with Webpack properly. So it also gets the font files within Barceloneta and backs them with team and they work properly. So for example, now with the current true to web build, there has been an issue that when you make true to web team build in Plone, you end up with broken font paths. And I'm not sure if that has been fixed yet. But right now, I'm sorry that I don't care because this has been working for me. On there's team manifest, team preview. The index.html is a copy of Barceloneta index.html. There are just a few lines there to inject the inject the resulting bundles from Webpack. And then small rules file that calls Barceloneta rules by default. And Webpack rules file because by default I bundle in each theme file there will be, well, the plugin will call all HTML files and find if they ask for injecting the bundles there. So currently each file will get all the bundles it generated for. So each file will have both default bundle and login bundle by default, but then I use Diazo rule to drop the one I don't need. So if Diazo sees there is a body class for anonymous user, then it drops the login bundle. So with these files, it's easy to get started to customize them. Then start overriding things, extending things. Well, how to override things? This goes more involved. So you see the Webpack configuration in the root of the project, or the project, white root there. And there is a call for initialization of the Plone plugin that's due to fetching from the Plone. And it's an option to add custom, option to override less variables there. So when you want to override a pattern and use your own version of of a less file you need to override it there. And the syntax for string is a little bit stupid because of how less works. You need to have a string, those quotes inside the string to make less recognize it the string and make it work properly. But that's the same for what Blon generates for less. And overriding JS modules is the same way as in any Webpack project using the default web aliases. For example, there's a file manager pattern. So those pattern alias names are defined when you register resource files to Blon resource registry. You register them with those alias names, and the Webpack plugin will get those through the config.js entry points from Blon. And those can also be used in Webpack configuration to overwrite those values with local files or with newer versions. For example, if I have customized a toolbar or just need the newer version of toolbar.js from Blon, I just overwrite toolbar button here with the local file, and it works. And at the start, I also say that we are not only making teams with front-end resources, CSS and less, but we also add the team fragments, templates. I've called them like fat teams, so we can include small features in teams. Let's say we have more generic, like, more generic backend packages in Python that provide like behavior-like features in Blon, but then when we need to instantiate those features for customer side, we do them in team. So our team have become like policy packages, but policy packages that can be built and uploaded without restarting Blon. So we can update those packages just by zip upload. So already a few years ago, I made a package called Collective Team Site Setup. So at first, it only made it possible to include. So it's based on Blon-up teaming plugin interfaces phase. So whenever you activate a team in Blon, you can add your own plugins for that phase. And Collective Team Site Setup injects hit there. And at first, it only made a generic setup install from that. So team was able to contain generic setup profile during install. And there you can and define new content types, enable behaviors, update Blon registry, and a lot of stuff. And then later I have added a few more features that I can easier update dexterity XML schemas from the team, and update localizations. So it's possible to, there was an old package from job community to make through the web localization. So it uses that so you can override localization in team easily, or add your new localization namespaces for the templates you add in your team. So the next package is Collective Team Fragments. But it was originally proposed for Blon-up teaming as a core feature of Blon-up teaming. But at that time, we thought there are too many ways to define views in Blon, and it was not approved. So I made it a separate package to be able to use it myself. And later I also added a feature that you can use team fragment is a piece of job page template that can be used in Diaso team. So it renders that template under some context, against some context. But later I also added a feature you can use those fragments as tiles with Blon-up mosaic. And that's currently quite a big feature for me, that I can define new tiles in team with that package. And maybe all the development last year in Collective Team Fragments is for that tile feature. And probably someday I should move that feature into mosaic core to make it more visible. One more, I also can define permissions in Collective Team Site Setup. I've used that a little bit less. It's powerful, but it's a little bit hacky, yeah. And finally, Blon Team Upload is a npm package that does the actual upload through Plonup theming interface. It's not pretty, that, but it works. So it actually does all the clicking, Plon login, and go to Plonup theming control panel, and then upload the file through there. So there are no special magic there, just hard work. So probably the right way would be to add entry point for theme upload into Plon REST API. But somehow I made this way. I was able to do it in one night, so it was nice. And well, you probably want to see some examples. So at first, literal examples, the Plon Team Webpack template, Mr. Bob template. If you are interested, start by trying that out. Then the latest version, I've added some tweaks. I can also use the plugin for building something else than Teams, finally. And I've used that to test out my Summer of Code students at work on Plonup theming, at the special branch at Plonup theming. So at that branch, I have a Webpack configuration that only built a Plonup theming team mapper pattern from the latest versions, and then it has a mock-up screen that I can test the team without going to Plon. So it's kind of I'm trying out there how would it work to build like mock-up bundles with Webpack with that plugin. And then I pushed one of our teams to our team repository at GitHub. There are not much stuff there, but so that's a team that is based on our brands of Plonup Mosaic and all that Mosaic tile stuff. I show you the page after a while, how it looks like. And then finally, a week ago, I tried that would I be able to use components from Rob Hitema's Plon React work using that plugin. So that Plon Team Plon React package it's a team package created from Plon Team Webpack template. What it does, it has a Dyazo rule for replacing history code from history view with a new pattern implemented inside that team package. And that pattern starts the history component from Rob's Plon React. And it should work with the same way that you go check out and make what's there. So you may end up with the Plon without team menu enable a team. You should have Plon with that new history component working. But I haven't got far enough how we could really package that stuff and use it outside this one-shot teams. But then I promised to show this reckless project. So there's a lot of boilerplate here. And then one more thing. The Webpack template team creates the actual team package, which also creates something called custom team package. And that's the new Plon custom for us. So when I deploy a team for our site, there's a custom team also available in Plonup Theming Editor. And in that custom team, there are two files. There are custom JS and custom CSS. And Riku-Pekka can go there and add custom CSS rules there when I'm home. So it's not a real team, but it's just those resources are loaded by the real team from there. So these are the promised default resources, entry points. This has just Plon default patterns, and then the less entry point, and then it has also Mosaic loaded. And then this happens to use a SAS version of Barceloneta and also the latest Bootstrap 4. And then I try to split all the fragments in small. Well, like whenever I have a team fragment, I have a CSS file, a SAS file for the fragment. So it's a little bit easier to keep track. And how this looks like, I have it somewhere here. So this is a live site. I just go to the front page because it's not ready. I'll show you how Mosaic would look in here. So this is now a theme made with this Webpack stuff. You should be able to see here Webpack resources. Being loaded, yeah. So my default setup uses something called Common Bundle plugin, which tries to make all the shared resources for the different bundles into one bundle, and then there's default bundle logged in bundle, and then there's the custom JS for Rickweck. And yeah, these bundles might be quite huge, so currently making them small has not been a priority for me. And one more feature I have. I don't show you. One more feature in the template is to use SVG images for content types. So these are SVGs loaded from the Fontello. With the latest Mosaic, if you have a Mosaic view enabled by default, it will only show a small, minimal ad format first, and then start the Mosaic on. I just have something nice image I don't have. Then it starts Mosaic only after you add the page. This is on the same behavior that was in blown up page originally. And well, Mosaic did work on ad form, but at some sprint, we considered it required. It was always a special case. So Mosaic and Tiles ad form was always very special case. So that's why we wanted to make that special case less important and focus on the main use case, which is the edit form. Okay. So here we have Mosaic page, which has those default site layout stuff around the main content. Main content has two core things called Mosaic panels. We have one free panel here where we can drag custom stuff. And then we have a static panel here where we cannot remove this stuff, but we can customize them. These are actually field tiles. Now I should again have images I don't have. Please have a sample picture. Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Thanks. I was already looking for we had demo effect. Yeah, it works. So in my latest Mosaic, are they in different order on Mac or?
Yeah.
Okay. Funny. Okay. So on my current Mosaic version I'm using, it's possible to define custom tiles for field tiles. And there's some magic also to make these. These are a backend rendered field tiles, and they're a little bit magic to make them use drafted version of the content. Because, well, this goes in the field, this image, so it needs to go to the backend and then render at the backend using the drafted version of the page. And it's a little bit complex right now. It's fun, it looks nice, and I hope it gets stable. Oh, is there still something editable? Okay. It might be possible that I have also made this area editable. Yeah. But yeah, in Mosaic, it's possible to define multiple areas on the page that are editable to make it easier to define the layout, so you don't need to think that How would I make this bottom different from the main content? Because they are separate areas on the layout. They also only have their own content areas. So all these features together they use a thing called site layouts and panels and all the stuff that are described in the original blocks manifest. by the people who are not anymore here. But the most important stuff, everything custom in this team is inside the team and uploadable and updatable to the web. And that's nice. And there are some more fancier widgets which are coming to our front page at Zampiho. We have a carousel. This is a sleek page carousel which... okay, I'm not logging in. Maybe I go log in elsewhere and then I come back here. I'll see a couple of more widgets that are made with this approach. So I try to use all the nice features we have made to be able to use through the web with these new tools. So with a team fragment tile implemented in collective team fragments, it's possible to use XML schemas to define schemas for the tiles, custom tiles. That was an interesting place for that. Oh, I'm not an edit. Well, so we'll see. It takes a little time to load everything. It's not completely finished, but I can show a few features from it. Okay, so this is one tile. It defined using team fragment, defined in team. And it has a schema that takes lines of RSS addresses and then their category, and I've used, okay, I've defined a scheme, one-line schema or one text area schema in Plone supermodel, and then I define that schema field has an extra class, extra pattern class, and then in the team there is a pattern that starts a React.js-based widget on this field, so it's somehow nicely updatable list of RSS fields. So this is React.js widget, and it's updated. And then there is that team fragment part which renders the HTML, and one more pattern that actually initializes this carousel here. So this one feature is two patterns, one XML file, and one page template file. And one more inspired by Castle CMS, also just with only JavaScript, is this focus point feature. It didn't change. Okay, maybe there's a bug there. There was supposed to be a focus point implemented in JavaScript. So the button saves coordinates, center coordinates the picture, and then when it renders this image, it sets in style that you need to have certain margins to make the image center. It should work because all these images are same image with different focus point. So a lot of stuff can be, more stuff than you expected can be made through the web. I guess that's the something to bring home. And someone is using those all through the web with features we have been implementing and maintaining all these years. Thank you. Any questions? Victor?
First of all, thanks for your amazing work, because I think that it's really breakthrough. And somehow I really think that all the workflow that you just show us is something that should be somehow default in the next future, because I don't know what you all think about that, but I think that it's the way to go, especially when theming. When we are talking about theming, though. And whatever, I One of the questions I have is that we have how put it in words? There will be a way to define everything that the plugin is doing now, which is going to the resource registry, grab everything that Plone needs, and then put it all together in Webpack. If there is a way to do it the Webpack way. Because I think that if someone's approach is to Plone, that is, for example, a UI developer and wants to make a thing for Plone, and that developer probably will know that Webpack already. And he will expect to see some pure Webpack configuration there and not something opaque that is inside Plone and saved in the database that somehow magically pops out at some point and then makes out its way to the Webpack configuration. I'm not talking about doing the Explorer Plone 5, but it will be an easy way to do that. Or did you think about that and doing this for future versions of Plone?
So Victor was asking me, would it be possible in future for us to use the proper Webpack way without any dev special Plone plugins? So of course everything is possible, but that also involves politics and committee decisions, and depends on where we are going and who is going with us. So, but I need to use this right now and update Teams today and tomorrow and next. Come back from holiday. So right now I am focusing on maintaining this approach and using that myself and learn more Webpack and Plone and teaming myself. And I won't be doing that let's refactor Plone to use only NPS stuff by myself. So that's something that need to be a community decision and need to take account the current users of Plone and the current community. So I don't expect that to be easy, and that approach it's still quite technical. Any teamer can update CSS and JavaScript and make the build if the Plone happens to run correctly. I guess the hardest part is to make Plone running when you want to update the team. And there's a Wacron configuration which kind of works. But yeah, it would be nice if we could update Plone team without running Plone at all. But right now, it looks like a little bit, it looks like too much work right now.
Then we could provide them on GitHub, for instance, and then you could just download them like any other package. It would just be a huge bundle, but with Webpack and pre-shaking and everything, you can have like a small bundle, even though your initial bundle might be huge, right? So that could be a way. Do you see any blockers?
Yes, so Timo proposed that if we just make also NPM bundles for each Plone package and for each feature, so we have both the current Python packages and then also the NPM packages. Yes, of course, but then again, we really should make all of them to make it work without my need for Plone. For currently, if I always only need to use facet navigation, then I need to have facet navigation installed on Plone that I can get the current facet navigation resources.
True.
So, but of course we should need to start on somewhere, and starting for making a mock-up an NPM package again, which it was in the beginning, would be a nice step forward. And next step would be making packages for CMF Plone, because it also has its custom patterns inside it. So again, I agree, it's a good idea. Someone just needs to do it. And especially for mockup, it's a lot of work, it has a lot of code and a lot of those paths to fix. So now we have
we have complete required.js configuration inside mockup, and then another in that bone. And now, when we implement npm package, that would make it the third one. And naming is hard, and we would really need to think about naming if we start having each pattern. Make it really webpack way, each pattern should be its own npm package to make it work without aliases on webpack. So we would end up namespacing, and we would really have a new name for each pattern, a new required JS path alias, and third configuration.
In the long term, can we live with required JS and patterns in webpack? How does it work anyways? And webpack can work with required.js, right?
Yes.
Or do you
yes.
have to write
webpack can parse anything. It supports required.js and those other module definitions.
Okay.
And also ES6. So they all work together.
But it could be that in future versions, like required.js is dropped, right? Because nobody's using it.
I don't know. So maybe we should start somewhere. So we just start from mockup and try something out at first.
Yeah, of course, and that's what makes your work so amazing, right? That you have you can't just work on a pet project, but you have real world use cases, right? And you're
yes.
doing all that amazing stuff today within
So as soon as someone releases a mockup patterns as npm modules, I can start using them one by one. With this approach. So I don't need to wait for making everything released.
How complicated it is to add a new for example, new library into the webpack configuration. For example, you have an existing add-on like from project. JavaScript or Mosaic, and then now I want to add it and know which themes you should load and which imports you should make Webpack have. Because I know that you have your examples, and because I already look into that, but how do you get to know what do you require for that work?
So we can ask how hard it is to add new existing blown package in this webpack build. So it really depends on the package. Usually I add one file for the theme. For example, facet navigation, I have one file for the theme for the edit mode and one for view mode, I think. And there I require the resources using the path found for resource registry. So even for resource registry also JS entry point also has paths for all the legacy resources. So they have aliases for them. And the seeming part is a trial and error. So most of them need jQuery, so there I use Webpack inline loaders. So when you have import something in your JS JavaScript file, I use ES6 nowadays, so it's already import something in Python. So in that import line, you prefix the path with those loader configuration. And that's well defined in the webpack book. Yes, it's technical, and you run up, you see errors at first. And one of the hardest things have been those files that try to both support jQuery and required.js. And bonus also some of those in core, so they try to do clever stuff in the initialization. Okay, but see if there are required.js available, let's use required.js then and define this, and if it's not, then just use jQuery, and it's available globally. So those are a little bit harder, they may have strange issues. I have the sims for a loaded plugin, all the default resources involved inside the plugin, and I update the plugin after date when I see issues. But for all the add-ons, I mostly just use inline loaders. I think I had the gist for something. It used all loaders, but I might be able to find it. Yeah, this is how collecting false file. Let's see, collecting false module look like in Webpack 1 in a team. Yeah, I agree. Let's make it bigger. Yeah, so it's messy. And it's very technical and not very user friendly. But that's the world, like, world right now.
Oh my god. How do you handle those like ancient dependencies? Because every time I try to integrate current flow with something modern, right, from the JavaScript world, I run into a wall because, like, say, for instance, like collected document viewer, right? I mean, the JS in there is ancient. Like I think the jQuery is pretty ancient that we still ship with Plum 5, and jQuery itself is ancient. So how do you manage that? For me personally, it was incredibly hard all the time to like combine the modern JavaScript world with existing Plum.
So Timon asked how I mix up the modern and old world in JavaScript because they may have conflict. So it's hard, trial and error, step by step debugging sometimes.
Usually, well, when there are add-ons with a very like weird dependencies like this or facet navigation, then I make the different bundle in Webpack and then use those dinosaur rules to only include them when we actually need them. That makes a little bit to avoid conflicts. And maybe the hardest part was jQuery UI track or something like that. It conflicted with a slick carousel quite hard way. So for example, there I just needed to figure out which events it's hooking and then remove it events listeners in Fly. And also something else, by default, you cannot use React.js in blown model.
Oh, really?
Because blown model blocks all events going through the model to the root of the page. And React.js waits for the events at the root. So you need to remove that blocker, blocker there. Yeah.
So we have other words, by magic.
Yes. And right now this talk is going very depressing. So let's go to try the happy path at first. And then when there are enough of you hooked with the happy path, then you can hit your heads together to go through the hard parts.
Those ancient JavaScript dependencies is just like impossible to do properly, and it just like fails, right? And people without like your deep knowledge of JavaScript, or people that are not as smart as you are, have a really hard time that like figuring that out. And that includes myself sometimes, because I run into like many walls when I try to do that. And that those imports look familiar to me. But I often gave up.
Yes, so more how to make the old and new work better easily. Let's admit it might not be possible to make it easy. But what we might be able to do, let's make the happy path easy and let's use the hard way in Plum 5 and let's make sure that it's easy on Plum 6.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we only add new stuff that works easily there.
Yeah, as I said, I mean that makes your work far more impressive than
the stuff that we are doing with like React and Angular, because we just take the new stuff and make it work, and you like integrate that with today's like clone code, and that's a lot harder.
Okay, thank you. Okay, back.